Hello and thank you for listening to episode 544 of 60MW. I'm Dave and this is another of our interview shows. And in this one, I chat with Kevin Allen about his latest movie, La Chacha, which is available now on digital platforms, iTunes, Sky, Amazon, Google. Just go out there and look for it and you will find it. A little peep behind the curtains here at 60MW. We did start to have a chat together the week before what you're about to listen to, but unfortunately Kevin had a power cut 5 minutes into our chat, so thankfully it was rearranged and he was kind enough to give me some time again and we can continue our chat that you're going to listen to now. He did have some internet problems at his end. It did keep dropping out occasionally, so you will get some little dropouts in his audio, I'm afraid. But you can also watch on YouTube as well. And if you're not already subscribed to our YouTube channel, it would be fantastic if you did that as well as subscribing to our audio shows. So as always, sit back, relax, get comfortable, and listen to me and Kevin Allen have a little chat about La Chacha. Hello again, Kevin.
Hi there, how you doing?
Good, how are you today?
Good, yeah, busy. It's kind of getting ready to go to Munich for 3 months.
Wow. Can I ask why?
I'm artist in residence, care of the German Ministry of Culture in 3 months. And I just exist in Munich.
Oh, fantastic. That sounds definitely you've got a busy time coming up. Right. We were unfortunately cut short last time, technical problems. So I've got to begin La Chacha. What problems happened?
Hang on.
It's okay.
Hang on. Just bear with me. Just 1 second.
No problem.
Sorry, someone waved to the dog. There we are.
Yes. So our last chat was cut short. Technical problems and so on. So I've got to begin. La Chacha, what problems did you encounter during filming? Did anything stop the filming? What was... You know, any hiccups that you had along the way, which was a difficult time to film already?
Well, it was in the middle of COVID, so it was intrinsically difficult anyway. Mm-hmm. But we shot on iPhones, which was, you know, made things a bit lighter and easier. But no, we had fantastic weather first week of the shoot. I mean, just amazing, telling the cast off for getting suntans and stuff. But then the sky and... we negotiated two storms with names, everyone camping, you know, tents in trees, and renamed our sets after First World War battle places. You know, it was insane. I often got up by the lake where I had a little vintage caravan and looked outside and just thought, if the crew have gone, I don't blame them. I would. I mean, one girl from the art department went home with trench foot.
Whoa.
So they had its problem. But we, you know, it was a kind of blitz spirit, you know. It was the camaraderie kicked in. People were just so glad to be doing something during lockdown, you know. I think that's how we got away with it. We bubbled down and had a lot of fun. I mean, most fun I've had making a film, to be honest. There was no stress or pressure. Because we just did it for fun. We had no expectations, you know, whatsoever. It was just something to do during lockdown. And as a consequence of my, you know, mobile film school, which I just set up, teaching people to mess on, you know, smartphones. And we had our funding cut when COVID broke. So I kind of just picked that up again during lockdown. We trained a lot of people, a lot of first time heads of department. You know, I had a few mates into mentor professionals. You know, and all the cast came from here, there, and everywhere. I decided to get the Twin Town people who are still alive. You know, back for the posterity. That's what they did. They came and we made a film somehow.
I mean, it's great that you did. I mean, the atmosphere, it comes across on screen when you're watching the film. It does look like it would have been a fun shoot because that, you know, it comes across just watching the film. And you mentioned Twin Town again and filming on iPhones now, of which you said you teach. I mean, could you imagine back when you made Twin Town that people would be making films on phones, that it was possible to make films on phones just not too many years later, to be honest?
No, I couldn't. I mean, we shot on a 35 millimeter celluloid Arriflex, where on the iPhones we bought three Moondog anamorphic lenses just to kind of enhance the widescreen lookability of it, which costs 180 quid each on Amazon. And my prime lens kit on Twin Town would have been worth in the region of £900,000.
Whoa.
So, you know.
That's a big difference, isn't it?
Who'd have thought 25 years later?
I mean, this is a great example of what you can do. You know, if you set your mind to it and you want to make a film, and most people have got smartphones these days. What advice would you give to anybody that wanted to get out there and make something? What are some tips you could give them?
Well, first of all, before you pick the phone up, go and get a good microphone. You know, I'd rather spend £2,000 on a microphone and 500 quid on a camera. Mm-hmm. To be honest, you can fix pictures. You can't fix sound, and it's the biggest mistake rookies make is poor sound, you know.
Yeah.
That's, you know, then you get a small little, you know, mobile smartphone kit with a slider and a decent tripod, get your decent microphone, a couple of lights, you know. But before, you know, you go out making a film, really decide what you want to say. I think that's the most important thing. And that's another big mistake people make. They don't really know what they want to say. They sort of know what they want to do, but they don't get to the heart of what they're trying to express. You know,
yeah.
I mean, the Cha Cha, the bottom of La Cha Cha was, why do we treat old people so poorly? That's really the underlying theme. Mm-hmm. You know, what is this race that we treat old people, and how old people are condemned to, you know, these awful care homes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go to one. I want to go to somewhere like La Cha Cha. Why need more places like that? People can be creative, you know, in God's waiting room.
Exactly, yeah. I'd rather go to La Cha Cha too than the care homes, especially the state they're in at the moment as well. God, yeah.
No.
What was it?
So, yeah, that'd be my advice to you know, someone making a film. Really decide what you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then just learn a bit of basic film language. You know, that's what I teach sort of very quickly,
mm-hmm.
grammar. And that's it, really. Off you go. It's cheap. Everyone's got a smartphone. You know, you can edit on, you've got loads of little editing platforms now. You know, bumping it up to cinema spec isn't cheap, you know, but for something you just put online, it doesn't have to be expensive at all. The post-production implications of you know, that we encountered bumping the film up to cinema spec was kind of pricey. It was still a very, very ridiculously cheap film, petrol fumes. But that's more complicated than it seemed with the metadata.
Yeah. How did the idea for it first? What was the genesis of it all?
I retailored a movie I wrote in Alabama years ago for a studio. It was about snowbirds in, you know, mobile homes, RVs, living their life to the full, similar. So I just retailored that, really, over about a month,
mm-hmm.
and set it here. And so, you know, I just happened to have that in my archive, and it worked, you know, with a bit of jiggery-pokery.
I mentioned when we first spoke the other week as well, that one of the things I really enjoyed about the film was that I didn't know where it was going to go. I loved it that I couldn't foresee what was going to happen next, which happens with a lot of films. Within your writing process, did you write it like in a linear fashion, or had you got ideas and you then pieced them together and was moving back and forwards?
No, it's a three act structure. It's a classic three act structure. There's no difference there. It's just pretty bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the turning point where he relays the story of his fear of flying and killing all those goats. Oh, sorry, I should. Anyway, it's just pretty bonkers. But no, the structure is a three act structure, and I just like to push it into that sort of insane direction. Shush! Sorry, dog bark.
Was there anything, any ideas that you'd have, that you wrote down that you'd have liked to have filmed that you couldn't for any reason?
Well, not ideas, but a lot of locations I lost. I literally run out of what we call weather cover. I mean, usually you have a few interior locations up your sleeve in case it rains. You know, it didn't just rain. It was a nightmare. So I literally ran out of interiors. So I had to rewrite all the time to accommodate, you know, just finding somewhere to go undercover. So, you know, in a nutshell, it lost an expansive visual look. It was, you know, all those vistas of the lake kind of disappeared, and, you know, scenes that I'd set outside just couldn't be. So it felt a lot more claustrophobic than I would have liked, you know.
Yeah.
But that's just 4 weeks, and it rained for three of them nonstop.
That's incredible that you got the film finished with that as well, considering the weather and, you know, weather and COVID and everything else that was happening, and you still got the finished film, which is, you know, testament to yourself that you and all the cast and crew.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, it was an amazing experience. You know, I made a speech when we wrapped saying, you know, of course I care where a film ends up, but this one I don't really. Even if it gets lost, you know, in a cab on the way to the editing place. I mean, we've had such a great time making this. It really was one of those experiences which was more about the journey.
Yeah.
You know, but having said that, of course we want something to happen to it and, you know, get the few quid it costs local investors, get their money back, you know, which is hopefully what we'll do. But no, the taking part was really what it was about.
And you mentioned the storms and everything and you know, some of the not so good things that happened. Looking back on it now, is there like one particular moment or one particular day or something that stands out as one of, you know, if not the happiest, one of the funniest moments that you had when you were filming this?
One of the happiest was getting all those rugby icons around the campfire. I mean, they were, you know, apart from, what's his name, the old New Zealand hooker. Oh, what's his name? They were all Welsh icons of rugby, you know, Alan Wynne-Jones, Phil Bennett, Scott Quinnell. I mean, it was incredible that they actually turned up to sing that iconic song, Suspenbach, Around the Fire. That was the high point for me, without a doubt. And also there's a poignant moment where he spreads the ashes, his dad's ashes, where we actually used my own dad's ashes. It was a sort of homage to him in a way. Yeah, that was quite good.
Wow, yeah, what a moment that must have been too. How did you find the location, the actual location for the campsite?
A friend of mine owns this farm I'm living on now that I just decided to move to during lockdown. Didn't really know what was, you know, ahead of us. So I had a chance of beautiful weather, beautiful spring, had a little vintage caravan, built a camp down by the lake and just existed in lockdown there. It was paradise. And it's 28 acres, and I decided to stay. I built an edit suite, converted a big static caravan to an edit suite, and decided I liked it so much I stayed. And so converted it all into a cabin. So it's just, it's on the Gower Peninsula.
How long did it take to edit as well? Was it, you know, and what type of an edit was it? Did you get frustrated at any point, or did it go quite smoothly?
It was quite smooth. Like I say, the metadata was a problem. Tallying up, it's a technical kind of anomaly with iPhones. That was, I mean, I had an editor who dug us out of trouble. He was technically very good, so he managed to decipher all that information. No, it was a fairly straightforward edit. You know, I think it was six weeks, something like that. Very quick, cheap and cheerful dub and grade. We could, you know, get away with, really. I mean, and it still looks okay on the, you know, the big screen. It's fine.
Oh, yeah. So what was it in total then, from you going, oh, I'm going to make a film, to the, you know, the end of the edit? What was the start and finish points on that one?
Well, it was a month in June to write, a month prep in July, a month shoot in August. Then I had a couple of months off and got into editing just before Christmas and New Year was finished.
What do you like the best about the whole creative process? Do you prefer writing or do you prefer the filming or the editing? Which bit sort of scratches that itch?
I hate writing, but you've got to do it. I think the actual shoot is quite adrenalized. I enjoy it. You know, I like shooting. And then for me, the music. You know, I work very closely with the same composer every time, Mark Thomas, who did a fantastic score. So, yeah, we work very closely together. And, I enjoy that process. That's the icing on the cake for me, recording in the studio with orchestras and stuff, yeah.
Because I think sometimes the music is quite underrated part of the film, underappreciated part of films as well, when, you know, people are wowed by the visuals and the stories. Because the music really is the emotional push. That's what, you know, ticks those emotional little triggers inside you.
Sometimes, yes, you know, if you use a score, that's what it can change the dynamic of a film. You know, that's why I love doing it. Mm-hmm. You can just see things change through the process. Same with Foley. Foley's a dying art. Sound effects. You know, I had to go to Stuttgart the last time I did Foley because they're dying. You know, the art of Foley is dying, and it's very important part of post-production process. I mean, it can change the dynamic of a film. Good Foley.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And it's just a bit lazy these days. Same with music; it's just a guy on a synth, you know.
Yeah. If you had to, you know, the old elevator pitch, how would you describe La Chacha? People watching this and listening to it, and they're thinking, "Well, this sounds intriguing. What's it all about?" How would you explain it to them?
Well, if you're thinking of sending your mum or dad to one of those awful care homes, don't. Just pause and watch La Chacha and just look at the alternative that might be out there as something different to do with your mum or dad's final days on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. It's, and laugh doing it.
That's a big thing. Always have a laugh. Doing whatever you can to try and laugh as much as possible is always good advice, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
What have you got planned next? What's upcoming for you? I know you said you're going to Munich. You've got this 3 month. You've got that, well, and then
I've got 3 dates of a sort of countrywide 25th anniversary Twin Town tour, which has been fantastic, playing theatres all over the country. And I go to Munich for 3 months as artist in residence, mm-hmm. care of the German Ministry of Culture. So I'll probably write something I'm going to take my paints and paint and just hang out in Munich for 3 months.
That's good.
I might pick my mobile film school up again in the autumn.
And anybody that's listening and watching this that's interested in your mobile film school, what's the best way that they can follow you and find out about this and get involved?
The mobilefilmschool.com, I think it is, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, there's a website.
That's the best one. Well, brilliant. Thank you, Kevin. And thank you again for joining me today, having a chat about it. I really love the movie. I encourage everybody to go and watch it. And like you said, I encourage everybody to, if you are thinking about care homes or et cetera, just let's get La Chacha and places like it instead. That would be make the world a much better place.
Definitely. Thanks very much for having me.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye now. And the alarm bell, as always, brings to an end another interview show. Remember, please, that La Chacha is on digital platforms right now. All of them, like I said at the beginning of the show, with your iTunes and Sky and Amazon and Google, etc. So you can go and watch it. Hopefully, this little interview has piqued your interest and you want to go and have a look at that. I mean, come on, made during COVID and then using phones as well. Very, very interesting indeed. We here at 60MW are celebrating our 10th anniversary this year. So it would be wonderful that if you don't already subscribe to us on our audio shows and on our YouTube channel, if you could give us a sub on either of those, that would be really good. Thank you. And also tell your friends about us as well, word of mouth, especially when you're indie podcast and you don't get all the media exposure like all the big podcasts do. Word of mouth really does help to get our name out there. So again, thank you for listening. We will be back again very soon with another show. And I hope you enjoyed listening to me and Kevin talk about La Cha-Cha.